Good evening, family of faith. So good to see you. Please come in and have a seat. It is time. Happy hump day. Made it over the hump. So good to be here tonight. We have just a couple announcements before we get started. Tonight is youth hangout, and you guys are going to go with Tori and Eric. So follow Eric afterwards. Do you want them to meet you anywhere?
Downstairs.
So head on downstairs and he'll meet you down there. And then this Friday is marriage night.
Yay.
So if you haven't signed up already, please sign up. I saw there was only like one spot left. So we're planning to have a great turnout. Put that on your calendar, 6 to 9 this Friday. And then lastly, there's another youth hangout this Sunday at 6 p.m. That'll be here for 5th to 12th grade. So guys, don't forget that. All right, very good. Those are all of our announcements. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for everything you've done for us. And we want to love you more. We've come today to be with you. Lord, we want to sit at your feet today. Help us to know you more. Thank you in advance. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's worship the King of Kings.
When all I see is the battle, will you see my victory? Me. all I did was worship. And all I did was bow down. And all I did was sit still.
Is anybody believing for something in prayer right now? I know that I am. And I just, you know, I hate talking. I'm not a good public speaker, but the Lord has put something on my heart and I just got to share it. If you are believing for something, then believe it. And I was thinking about the Israelites and how they had been praying. I'm sure that they were seeking the Lord. They were living in oppression for, I believe it was around 400 years. And God sent Moses. But even when he was a baby, God was answering that prayer, amen. He had already put in place the person who was going to be the one to be able to say, let my people go. And even though they may not have seen it in their lifetime, maybe they didn't see it when they wanted to see it, maybe it didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen, God had already put things into motion. And I just hear him saying that something that you have been believing for, he has already put the answer to your prayer into motion. We have to believe and trust in him that he is going to answer things in the way that he wants to, but that's the right way. The way that he chooses to answer things, it's always the right way. And we can't get weary. We can't grow weary in the waiting. So whatever it is that you are asking of him, just know he hears you. He has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten you. And the enemy will try to tell you, well, it doesn't look like what it should look like. Your circumstances still haven't changed. That's a lie. Hold on to the truth. He goes before we go. He goes and fights our battles before we even see what they are. So be encouraged tonight because he sees you. He hears you. And believe that what you ask in faith, that it is done. Amen. And we can believe that it's done even when we don't see it, just like they did. And I'm sure they were discouraged when they get out and then they see a sea and there's nowhere to go. But God had a way. Amen. He saw them through. All we need to do is praise. All we need to do is worship and be faithful to him because he is indeed faithful to you. Some of your family of faith tonight. He is moving and he is good. Amen.
All right, everybody. Good to see you tonight. Good to see you live streamers, wherever you're watching from. I'm glad you're with us, too. We'll give everybody a chance. We have youth hangout. They're getting settled in downstairs, and then also kids are getting checked in. But you can prepare your giving if you have some tonight. Greed is the black hole of self. You know what a black hole does? It just sucks everything into it. Greed is no good. And there's certain things that Scripture highlights. It's not that it necessarily highlights much more than other things, but there's things that stick out. Dealing with pride is one of them. It's a consistent thing. Greed is also one of them. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons that we give of our tithe and our offerings, and we're taught to do so, so greed has no place in our heart. I'm convinced. My wife's phone went off in her grandma's funeral one time. No, your grandfather's. Your grandma turned around and was like, you know, we almost had a second funeral. You're right. We just did all right there. It'd have been all right. Anyways. Don't want to be greedy. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can control greed of material things, it gives you a leg up on all sorts of other things in life. And your life will never be wrapped around trying to get. And if your life is not wrapped around trying to get, it frees you up for so much other stuff. Amen? So as we give tonight, every time we take up an offering, we're fighting greed. I believe that. Let me pray over your giving tonight. Lord, we thank you to be able to give tonight. You are the one who increases us. We thank you for that. And we take the warning to our hearts about greed, that our life is not centered on material things and the things that we can have and the things we can wear and the things we can drive and the toys we can play with. No, it's not about that. But life is the good life, do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. That's priority. We thank you that you're teaching us the good things in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Amen. If you have it, you can bring it. Also, I don't know if you need an envelope. I already prayed, but you can get one if you need that quick. But other than that, up here on the platform, there are Dream Team signups. So every Dream Team we have in the church, Dream Team are different serving teams in our church, greeters, media, sound, ushers, worship team, kids church, you name it, youth team. Every team we have has spots. So if you're interested in serving, I would encourage you to find something that you're interested in, sign up for it, and we'll tell you more about it. I'm going to lay this up here on the platform. The reason is because the Bible says that the church is like a body. And no one part of the body gets privilege over the other. And no one part of the body can say, I don't need the other part. So the reason you're here, I believe, is because the Lord brought you here. But if he brought you here, I believe you have a reason to be here other than just being here. You're valuable as a person before you come here. You're valuable as a congregation member before you serve, but I believe you also have value in serving. Okay? So if you're not serving anywhere, I'd love to plug you in. Now, if you need to go through next steps, you need to do that, though. And we'll tell you when the next steps is coming up. That'll be coming up here in March. But anyhow, I appreciate all of our dream teams, what they mean to our church. They just do an amazing job. Amen? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We've been talking about suffering and trial. And I think this is like third week on that. And just when I think we're done, then we're not done. And so we're here back talking about it tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. I actually was here in my own personal reading on Monday. And out of that, I thought we'd talk about this tonight. Second letter to the church in Corinth. Now, this is Paul writing, and they believe that there were more than two letters from Paul to the church in Corinth. There was some correspondence happening. These are two that we have, but they believe there was more than these two. And in this first, what we have broken down into the first chapter of this, is something that I consider an extremely mature view of understanding our suffering. It takes some maturity to be able to grasp what Paul says in these first 11 verses of this letter. So, let's read this together, then we'll talk about it for a few moments. It says, Paul, an apostle, there's his fivefold ministry gift calling of Christ Jesus. By the will of God, God had called him to do so. And Timothy, our brother, by the way, if you've been in the church for a long time, you need a Timothy. What I mean by that, who are you investing in from your life? It's not just to come and be invested into. But who are you helping along in discipleship? Who are you pouring into? Every Paul that's a Paul needs a Timothy. It doesn't mean you're an apostle, but yet everybody can invest in somebody else. Amen? That's maybe something to think about. Who's your Timothy? And to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace and to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is Paul's greeting. He goes on to write, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Mercies. Sunday, we're continuing in the Beatitudes. Sunday, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Then we'll also talk, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Mercy. If you lack mercy, you have missed the heart of God. Let me say that again. If you lack mercy towards others, you have missed the heart of God. And we're going to talk more about that on Sunday. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So the mercies and God of all comfort. Now watch, who comforts us in our affliction. Now watch this maturity that comes here. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Wow. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, and we do, and we will, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. And if we are afflicted, and this is Paul, he's talking about he and his companions. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we received the sentence of death. But that was, well, why did that happen? But that was, again, here's this maturity. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So even if we had experienced death, we would eventually experience resurrection. And he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. And on him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. So you must also help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. Wow. Would you hear what he was saying there? That's some, to me, I read that, and that's some pretty deep level stuff right there. So first of all, again, and Paul, in these afflictions, these sufferings, he's talking about the suffering for the gospel, living the Christian life in a world where it's not readily received. Okay, so they're going through things because of that. We also face sufferings and afflictions in this life. But what Paul is saying is, God is the God of compassion, mercies, and comfort, and he comforts us where? In our troubles. Remember, we talked last week, is there a reason for trial? At the end of the day, yes, trials happen, and we go through them. And the reason for trial is so you develop perseverance. You will never develop perseverance unless you go through something. We don't like to go through anything. True? Our prayers are, get me out of here. Get me out of this. I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death. Beam me up, Scotty. All right? We want out. We don't want to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But yet, because the kingdom is now and not yet, you will go through things. And as I said last week, that at times is disappointing to Christians, because we believe if we live by faith, nothing will happen to us, and that's not scriptural. Yes, God shows up. Yes, miracles happen. Things happen, but you will go through stuff too. You will never develop perseverance unless you go through something, right? And as James says, when we develop perseverance, that's part of our maturing, right? Remember, we were saying this last week. How many of you have ever gone to somebody and asked for some advice? I hope you asked of somebody who's been through something. Why? Because maturity brings a certain sense of wisdom, right? So yes, we will go through stuff, but God comforts us. I think sometimes we think that God will only deal with it in such a way that he gets us out of there. Sometimes God is in there because he's comforting you there. And we must learn his comfort there. And he meets us in our suffering. And we must learn to be comforted in our suffering as much as we just want him to make it go away. That's a mature view, because it's simply the reality of feet on the earth, reality existence in a world where the kingdom has not come in its finality just yet, right? So he comforts us in our troubles. But what is Paul saying? Here's maturity. The reason that he comforts you is so you can be a comfort to other people with the same comfort that you have received. Wow. One of the reasons that trial can be turned. Now, I don't believe God is the author of things like sickness and things of that nature. But yet, God, reaping where he doesn't sow, comforts us. Why? Well, so we can simply learn how to be a comfort to somebody else. And there is a mature way of seeing the things that you go through. So in other words, listen, in no way is the Christian life ever a selfish way to live. Christianity is so opposite of selfish that it absolutely positively stands firm against any way of the world that is centered on the self. It's not selfish. See, the things, again, that God does for you has a return reason so you can do it for somebody else. When you learn, listen, when you learn the comfort of God in the midst of your suffering and your trial, what you are to do then is learn how to take that and learn how to do it for somebody else in the same way that God has done it for you. That's a mature way of seeing trials and suffering. As a matter of fact, the Christian life in no way is individualistic. America is a very individualistic nation. The Christian life is not that. The Christian life actually is community and outward. In other words, as Philippians 2 said, we must learn even so much so to consider others better than ourselves. Not just to look out for your own needs, but also of the needs of others, Philippians chapter 2. And Paul draws that, maybe draws that part from somewhere else, but he's saying, and he says there, that that is being like the nature of Christ. It goes into this great high Christology by being very nature of God, did not consider equality with God as a thing. All the way to obedience to death on the cross, and then through that, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That's what it says there. So you can't live the Christian life and be selfish with what God has done for you. Like Sunday, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. The mercy you have received, what are you doing with it? It's never to be about yourself. In our American context, community is church. In our specific context, at church Sundays and Wednesdays, it's small groups, it's dream teams, it's the community together. You're not to be here and be alone. Even us, like me, us introverts that like to be alone, the Christian life calls you out of it. For the very comfort that I have received, how am I learning to comfort somebody else? So Paul's saying, Christ suffered, and so will we. But it is then through him that our comfort overflows. Amen. And our comfort comes in such a way that eventually it's more than we need, so it spills out to others. Paul goes on to say, and he's talking again about their situation, that they were distressed, and he actually situates here, the reason that they were distressed was for the comfort of others and for their salvation. Salvation in the sense that the distress that was caused because of them taking the gospel reaps in salvations. But in the stress itself, to receive and to know God's comfort, and that simply that what they have received and what they know, they turn around towards other people. Can you imagine being in the midst of suffering and discomfort. And your mind is already thinking, this is going to benefit somebody else. Think about that. You're just trying to make it yourself most of the time. You're just trying to get, you're just trying to see the next thing, take the next step, get to the next season. You're trying to work. But in the midst of you still holding on in faith and seeing what God's doing, God's showing up and doing what he's doing, your mind is also going, this is going to benefit somebody. God's going to use this. As a matter of fact, I would say this. People ask for callings, they ask for purpose, they're searching for life stuff. Listen to me. If you've been through anything, you have purpose in your future because what you've been through purposes you towards other people. How did God comfort you? What did you learn? How did you see God show up in a way that you did not experience him before? In what new way did you learn perseverance? How has it added maturity to your life? Then you're just kind of like, now who around me needs that? And sometimes you don't have to wait to get out of your distress and out of what's going on to start to be that way. You realize that? I tell people, look, if you're financially struggling, don't wait to get out there to be a giver. Be a giver while you're there. Right? You're in the middle of distress and discomfort, but God, he's still there. You sense him. Don't wait. Who else can you bring comfort to in the way you are finding yourself being comforted? I think sometimes people feel like they gotta wait till life's perfect before God can use me. It will never happen. I gotta wait till my life's all just straight now. It will never happen completely, all the way. It's kind of like saying, man, we gotta be financially ready, we gotta be wise, we gotta have all these things in order before we have our first baby. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get it all there. You're not going to have all the wisdom. Some of it happens just because you have it. You know what I'm saying? In the midst of where you are, don't wait for things to get perfect. How can God use you in the middle? We don't think this way, but how can he use you in the middle of what you're going through? Do you realize that when you encourage other people, you ultimately encourage yourself with your word? You know how often that when I'm preparing a message, I get encouraged by what I'm putting together? And I'm not really initially doing it for me. I have my own private and personal study time. It has nothing to do with what I share. But then I get my study time and the things. Sometimes I'm just like, that's pretty good, man. I'm going to take that myself. Well, how many times, and I have a friend that I interact with. He was for a long time, professor. He was actually adjunct professor of Greek at Asbury in Kentucky, and he recently has been in Georgia, but he resigned all of his professor work, and he took on pastorate of two small churches just in the last few months. We have conversations. His name's Mark. You know how often, every once in a while, come up talking about, are you living what you're preaching? It's easy to give a message, but am I living this way too? Paul writes something about it. He says, I can do all this, but I don't want to be disqualified myself. You know, I can be encouraged by something I'm giving somebody else. It happens that way too. When you're in the middle of your discomfort and you turn around and encourage somebody else, you encourage yourself because you're starting to grab hold of what you're saying. Because if it's true for them, it's true for you. You don't wait till you get on the other side. Because remember, in the suffering of Jesus was for our benefit. true. The suffering of Jesus was for us. That you would begin to start seeing your suffering, the things that you go through, in that manner. Yeah, I love the last thing Paul was saying about this. He goes, and by the way, we suffer so we can learn to depend on God and not ourselves. If there's one thing at the end of my days, hopefully I got a long time yet, I never want to get anywhere in between now and then as being self-dependent. As if I've got all the answers, I don't need any help, I don't need God's wisdom, I've done enough, and I can just do this my way. No. Suffering's a great reminder that you need him. And you will always need him. That never changes. You will always need him. And what better way to always understand that we need to depend upon him, because he is our hope and he is our deliverer in all things in the ways that he chooses to deliver us. So, again, I've had people that ask a question, I'm not sure what I have to give. I don't have any outstanding talent that people see. I don't feel like I'm the eye of the body of the church or the mouth. I don't know. Well, do I have anything? Have you been through anything? Yeah, I've been through some stuff. Huh. Well, that means you have something to give. Have you received comfort from God? Yeah? You think you can give comfort to somebody else? I think so. But that means you have to be relationally connected to people enough to know. Right? Have you ever felt you received the mercy of God? Well, absolutely, everybody. Think you can show mercy to somebody else? Has God ever forgiven you? Well, absolutely, 100%, yeah. Like lots. Well, you have forgiveness to give them. Are you forgiving towards other people? Has God ever helped you out of a jam financially? Oh, yeah, I can tell you a couple stories. Have you ever helped somebody else out of a jam financially? Now think about this. When it comes to people to people, if you've ever been helped out of a jam by another person, think about that. Another person helped you. Maybe that person was learning some lessons from God, and you were the recipient of comforting somebody else the way they've been comforted. Now, what are you going to do? Maybe you have the opportunity to be that person for somebody else. Or maybe it has nothing to do with finances. Maybe it's just somebody that will pray for them, and they know it. I'm praying for you. My gosh, I need it. Okay. Just know, I'm praying for you. You think somebody had prayed for them? Probably. If you've ever been forgiven by somebody else besides God, somebody forgave you when you didn't deserve it. Are you going to pay that forward to somebody else and be that person of forgiveness? This is what we do in the context of the church. And then this is how we learn to be in a world that needs to see it and hear it. Right? Because, again, selfish, individualistic living does not have a place in the fullness of the heart of God that he's trying to build in us. Amen? So, you all have a story that's got chapters in it. There's only one person in this room right now that has only not even completed the first chapter, and that's Luke. Everybody in this room, you've got chapters to your book. Right? What happened in your life to this moment? Your life has more chapters to go, but up until this time, right now, if somebody was to read your life and knew the details, they would say, man, you've lived a life. By the looks of this, you probably learned some things, hopefully. Been through some things. What are you doing with it? Other than just saying, I'm glad I made it this far. What are you doing with what's happened to your life to this day that can benefit somebody else? That's some of the great, if you want purpose in your life, I just gave it to you. And you don't need anything more than that. There may be more than that, but you don't need anything more than that than have something to do. If you'll just open your eyes, see, and your ears to hear beyond just seeing and just hearing with what's around you. If you can get beyond just seeing and actually start to see, if you'll get beyond just hearing and actually start to hear, you will say, I have something to give. You got to pay attention. Amen? And by the way, if it's ever, listen, I will say this. If you've come to your attention of something that you could do for somebody and you're hesitant because of that person for some reason, that's the very reason you became aware of it. God's trying to teach you something. It's not the job to hold back. Amen? All right. Let's pray. We'll end on that note. How about that? Well, Lord Jesus, we thank you that we're here and the stories that we carry with us that are the stories of our lives, Lord, that they're just, I think there's probably a lot of stuff that we may have wanted to take out. But the fact of the matter is, it's there. And what you do, Lord, in redeeming things, you can take the mess and use it for your glory in a lot of different ways. And I pray that we are people of comfort in all other things towards other people in how we have received it. We do for others. And I pray there's a connection relationally in our church, Lord, that we are encouraging one another and building each other up as long as it is called today. And we're doing it in those kind of ways. So I thank you that you take mess and do wonderful things with it. That's simply who you are. So help us open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and what he is doing and how he would lead each one of us to the benefit of somebody else. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm looking forward to Sunday. Sermon on the Mount. Come on back. Invite somebody. If you know somebody that needs to get to church, invite them to church Sunday. It's getting into spring. I think we are 1 week away from the time change. Yeah. Here we go. So let's get out to church. Amen. All right. Have a good rest of the week.